Take your Bibles now and turn with me, if you will, to the first or the second psalm in the Scripture, Psalm chapter 2. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Our subject today is the characteristics of the decree of God. We are bringing you a series of messages on the general theme called the God of the Bible. And today we shall look at the characteristics of the decree of God. Our subject shall pick up where we left off last time as we study the decree of God. I use a decree in the singular because God, being the all-wise God that he is, knows everything and has purposed everything so that there is no need of several decrees, but one is sufficient. By this we mean that Jehovah God works all things after the counsel of his will and according to his good pleasure. He does according to his good pleasure. This means there is no surprise, no crisis with the Lord, nor is there anything that can take him unawares, whatever. Our God knows all, sees all, and directs all as he has purposed it from eternity past. When this truth is grasped by the individual and meditated upon, it causes him to adore the Lord more and more and to appreciate him in a greater way than ever before. It also gives us the necessary fortitude because we rest at our Savior's feet and praise him because all things are under his control. However, as we study the decree of God, we are made to understand that the decree of God has certain characteristics to it. These characteristics can be divided into two classes, which are, first, the efficacious decree of God, and secondly, the permissive decree of God. Many of you people today, perhaps some of you, have declared that we may be fatalists or hyper-Calvinists because we believe in unconditional election and absolute predestination. These folks get all upset because their position of free will is assaulted and overthrown by the truth. In the defense of their heresy, they declare that we are fatalists and have made man a mere robot. This comes about due to the ignorance of the decree of God, and that ignorance has come about because they do not study the Word of God like they should. If you are in this category, we want you to listen for eternity because your soul is at stake, and you need to be properly instructed in the truth of the Lord God of heaven. God's decree is divided into two aspects or characteristics. These are the efficacious decree and the permissive decree of God. By the term efficacious, we mean having the power to effect or accomplish. In other words, certain things were decreed by the Lord, and rest assured they shall be carried out. As we look at God's efficacious decree, we see it divided into several categories. We will list them, and then we shall set them forth in the Scripture. First, we see the stability of this universe. It is no happenstance that our planet Earth is the only one on which there is life. God decreed it and has so ordered and maintained this planet that it sustains life. In Psalm chapter 33 and verses 6 through 9, we read, By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Now this does away with the Big Bang theory. This does away with evolution. This does away with every other theory that man has concocted with regard to the construction and the maintaining of this earth. And man today, because he will not give God the credit, has concocted these schemes, and I'll tell you right now, every last one of them are leading those individuals that believe them right down the road to hell. If you believe in evolution, then put it down. You don't believe in the Lord God of heaven. And if you don't believe in Christ, put it down again. You will not spend an eternity in bliss, but instead in eternal torment. Next, as we look at the God's efficacious decree, we see the outward circumstances of the nations. Remember that all the nations of this earth are under the control of God, and every one of them shall accomplish his purpose. Turn to Acts chapter 17 and verses 24 down through verse 26, where we read, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Are you an American or a Canadian or a citizen of some other country? Is your skin color white or black or perhaps some other color? If so, remember this one thing. Whatever citizen of whatever country you may be and whatever color of skin you may have, it has been decreed for you by the Lord. All nations, peoples, and languages are under the efficacious decree of God and will carry out the purpose decreed for them. This puts man and the nations of this earth at the disposal of God, and it puts God on the throne where he is and where he should be. The third aspect of God's efficacious decree is the length of human life as well as the mode of death. In Job chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, we read, Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. In Psalm 90 and verses 10 through 12, we read these words, The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The mode of death is seen in John chapter 21 and verses 18 and 19, where Christ spoke of the death of Peter. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girded thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee where thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify the Lord. Now, regardless of who you are, your circumstances of life, no matter how old you may be, my friend, you are under the eye of God, and your length of life, your mode of death, as well as your eternal destiny, are known unto the Lord. His purpose for you will be carried out, because God works all things after the counsel of his will. Now let me stop right here. People many times have been asking this question, and particularly amongst our teenagers. They say, Who am I, and what am I here for? Well, let me say this very kindly, that God has put every man upon this face of this earth to do these three things. Number one, man has been put on this earth that he might know God, and that means he might come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, man has also been put on this earth not only to know God, but also to enjoy God, and then thirdly, to glorify him forever. You see, God has a purpose for every individual, and that purpose shall be carried out after the counsel of God's will. In the efficacious decree of God, the good and evil acts of man are also included, yet God is not the author of sin, nor can any sin be laid at his door. However, the evil and good acts of man are under the control of our Lord, as well as the carrying out of his purpose. Take your Bibles now and turn to the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, verse 10, where we read, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Here we see the good works of the believer are ordained of God. Therefore, every good work performed by God's people is known and purposed by the Lord, and these good works fulfill His will and decree. And it goes down even to the minutest point of an individual giving a cup of cold water to his neighbor or friend. The same can be said of man's evil work, yet God cannot be charged with sin. You see, my beloved friend, God has decreed all things, and all things will fulfill God's purpose as well as bring glory unto His name. Now, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22 down through verse 24, we see an evil act of man but brought glory to the Lord God of heaven. Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through 24, where we read, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. The death of Christ at the hands of sinners was a dastardly deed, yet it was foreordained by the Lord to take place as it did. In all of this, no one can charge God with sin. Still, the purpose of God was carried out for His glory as well as for our salvation. Now, with the decree of God, we see also God's decree with regard to His elect. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 48, the Scripture reads as follows, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Now hold your seat as this truth sinks in. Now listen carefully like you've never listened before. The only people who are ever going to be converted are those who are the elect of God, because only the elect of God are ever given the effectual call of the Lord God of heaven. If this statement disturbs you, we ask you to read again Acts chapter 13 and verse 48, where we read, "And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Then in John chapter 6 and verse 37, we read these words, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Again, turn to John chapter 6, if you will, and verses 44 and verse 45, where we read, and the Scripture is saying these things, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." As one studies the Word of God, you will find that there are two calls in the Scripture. One is a general call, and in Luke chapter 14 you have that general call where it can be turned down by the individual. The other call is the effectual call of God, and when God gives that effectual call, that sinner is going to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. No sinner can turn down the effectual call of God. It's an irresistible call. It's a gracious call. It is a sovereign call. And I'll go one step further. It is an efficacious call because it results in the individual's salvation. Now, the only people that receive this effectual call or efficacious call are the elect of God that God has foreordained before the foundation of the world. We don't know who they are, and so we preach, "Whosoever will may come." And the Scripture brings out very clearly, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Now, some of you listening to my voice are probably being dealt with by the Lord God of heaven. This is because God has set His love upon you, and He intends to bring you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The method of God in calling you and drawing His elect, because that's what you will be when you get saved, and you'll find it out, is set forth in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14, where we read, But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now hold your seat again. The decree of God in no way does away, or no way or no manner does away with the responsibility of mankind. It is the responsibility of every sinner to do two things. Number one, that sinner is to repent. And then number two, that sinner is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's command given to every individual, and it is incumbent upon that individual to respond to this command. It is the responsibility of every sinner to find out if he or she is one of the elect of God. The only way you will ever know this is to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Christ died for sinners. And if you're a sinner, the Lord God of heaven has caused you to listen to this broadcast even at this hour, that you might hear exactly what you are being taught at this very moment. If you are a lost sinner and know it, this has come about because of God's grace being extended to you at this very moment. You see, when God opens your heart and shows you that you're a lost sinner, that's the grace of God being worked in you. Then you have an imperative laid upon you. And your imperative is to seek the Lord to have mercy upon you and to open your heart, as well as to grant you repentance and faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything less than this will result in your damnation, but it will be your responsibility. You see, my friend, every sinner stands at the disposal of God. It is God that does the saving. It is God that does the calling, and yet man is responsible to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I know you don't understand all this, and I really don't expect you to, but my friend, you better recognize this. You have a responsibility, and that is to seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and to call ye upon him while he is near. Now, if you're a lost sinner at this hour, I'm sure that if you being a lost sinner, God has put a cry in your heart. And that cry is for you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he dealing with you at all at this hour? If he is, begin now to beg him to save you by his grace. You don't stop begging until he does. When he does save you, you will know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be known of Christ, and it will be all to the glory of God. And you'll recognize that salvation is all of God, and it's all of grace. My hope and my prayer is that something has been said that the Lord will use and cause you to seek his face at this hour. And my hope is that he'll save you. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Northier saying goodbye. And oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.